retail development, attracting retail establishments is very difficult in this day and age, in large part due to the large volume of online sales. And indeed, they see that even in town center. And so what these particular developers told us and the trend that they see is really a move and a focus toward service-oriented businesses. And that is reflected through like dining, restaurants, industries, businesses that are providing services. And we're seeing a much bigger trend toward that with smaller footprints. We went through the whole presentation. And so, Mayor Pro Tem, I would ask him to certainly supplement any additional thoughts that he gleaned from that meeting. But I think, in general, it supported the trend analysis that we saw, but brings us full circle to then the questions. And some of the questions are really important from a planning perspective, and we've tried to help jumpstart the discussion tonight, which is in your packet provided some discussions to, again, or questions rather, to get the discussion started. So, for example, does the city want to commit funds to the construction of Spine Road? That's actually a pretty sensitive question, because there are several million dollars currently allocated. So, from my purposes in budget planning, that is a considerable interest to me of whether or not we want to continue to allocate those funds. So, with that, this is really the council's discussion. Turn it over to the council, Mayor Pro Tem. I don't know if you have anything to add to the developer discussion.
Just a couple things. I don't know if council's aware who we met with. We met with Tim Panos from Panos Development, who owns the whole Albertsons complex down here and also owns parts of Town Center. And then Tim Russell, who's a friend of mine and works for a commercial development company. They did the Safeway development out on 132nd and are working on a project in Sammamish Town Center right now. I think the two things I took away from the meeting, I think they looked at the East Gateway similar to the way I do, is that the 12 acres we have left is too small of an area to really result in anything that's going to have a town center feel. Now, it's setting aside the design standards and what we want it to look like, but if we're trying to replicate town center, they just don't see the site being big enough. And I think the other thing I was struck with was, I think it was Tim Panos that said this. He said, and this is in the context of the discussion we heard a couple weeks ago about high-end retail. He said, we've got vacant space in the town center. If high-end retailers wanted to come here, I would have heard about it, and we'd be having them knocking at our door to come to Town Center, and they're not. So I think what I walked away from that conversation is verifying where I had been. I'm just not sure there's enough land mass left out there to really implement the vision that you all had when there was a target on the horizon that probably would have started the development of everything else and helped that vision come to reality. The way it's transpired, it is what it is, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to implement the vision that was there 7 or 8 years ago. Not to the scale that everyone might have contemplated. So I thought it was a very helpful discussion. I thought they had a lot of interesting information. So I think those are what I took away from it.
Hi, Mayor Pro Tem Holzbach?
Yeah.
One of the things that I took away from our last meeting, which I probably thought was the most glaring, was that there is actually only 12 acres of what we would call, I guess, buildable land at this point. Correct?
Yes.
So given that nature, given that regard and that limited amount of acreage, I personally think if I were to look for a vision down the road, I think it might be time to perhaps start thinking at in regards to other ideas in regards to that area, and not calling it, well, maybe not calling it East Gateway Urban Village, but perhaps problem solving and come up with new ideas in regards to that region, such as, like you were saying, service-oriented, some sort of culinary destination in that regard. Like you said in our prior meeting, where it's too small for a theater, it's too small for this, it's certainly too small for a second town center. So I think thinking going forward that thought process has to be pretty much is now moot at this point. Would you agree?
You asking for my opinion?
Yeah.
Yes, that's kind of where I'm at. Again, I would look at it differently if we were a few years ago and Polygon hadn't yet developed and the Vintage hadn't yet come in and the Pratt building hadn't been developed. If we had, you know, that would be another, bring it to probably close to 40 acres. You're talking about a different dynamic there. And then the other thing that makes all of this challenging, too, is we're dealing with other people's property. We don't own or control any of this. That's why I'm particularly sensitive to what we're trying to do here and how long we hold these property owners hostage.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Since last night, I went and pulled the original site maps and what is undeveloped property, what is developed, what is construction vested. And we are in a very limited position through no fault of our own, of course, but it is what it is, and we are where we are, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here.
Okay, so the city manager put together some questions for us that will help, I think, guide us to wherever it is we're going to go, and hopefully tonight we'll be able to have some certainty about what it is we're looking for and what type of development that we're ready to proceed with or we think is in the best long-term interest of the city. And one of the biggest changes, if we're not going to do an urban village or a town center type thing, is that we have to be willing to give up, I think, on the pedestrian focus of EGA. Realistically, we're not talking about meandering sidewalks anymore. We're talking about auto-oriented type shopping. Was that what we're looking at? So are we comfortable?
Yeah, I would happen to agree with you almost 100% there. It's just not feasible at this point, given the circumstances and the space that's available.
Okay, so Council, how do we feel about that? Brian, you look like you're ready to say something.
I'm not sure what question number one, I mean, to me, question number one is entirely different than question number seven. I'm not sure what pedestrian-oriented is meant out here, because I think Mr. Rogers told us last time that the site plan that had been presented to us as a possibility out there is consistent with the design standards. So I infer from that that means it would be pedestrian-friendly. The issue was whether or not we were going to change course on allowing vehicle-centric uses like drive-thrus. So I'm not sure that I'm wanting to abandon the pedestrian-oriented nature.
I think, you know, from my perspective in addressing the question, I feel like I hear a lot when I hear the discussion from UGov is it's pedestrian-friendly. And there was a lot of focus around the fine roads in that regard and connectivity among the parcels through the fine roads to promote that pedestrian nature of it. Pathways, you know, activities, gathering areas, little benches, promenades, so forth. And so I think to me it's not so much, while they're connected, again, my focus was on question 27 as much as question 22. You know, is that pedestrian focus still important? And that goes to question 7 in terms of drive-through access. For example, for businesses, it goes to things like fueling stations that you've heard about, and it goes to, is it important enough for you all from a budgetary perspective if you want to keep this fine road in your capital improvement plan? And right now that's at about $3.5 million that you're calling from that road in that plan.
Well, here's the problem I have. I'm sorry, this is Councilmember Cavalier again. Here's the problem I have with the Spine Road is that we are roughly a year to a year and a half away for paying for 35th Avenue. Am I correct?
We have information to bring to the council on that, but if the council decides to move forward with that, then that has to be coordinated with the county's construction. And so we have to be looking at a 2017 project date.
Now, do we, I'm sorry to interrupt again, do we lose that shot at the grant funding if we don't match the funds, if I remember correctly?
For the Spine Road?
No, for the repairs on 35th. I'm just trying to think how we would best spend the money, I guess, whether it be a Spine Road or the repairs of 35th.
There is a remaining project cost to be funded for 35th, yes.
And that's about, what, a couple of mil?
Roughly my understanding right now with no updated numbers is probably about a million and a half.
Okay, 1.5 mil. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so we're all on the same page, as I recall, in the transportation budget, we got $4 million allocated. We're estimating the cost of the road is going to be north of $5.5 million. We have not yet, as a council, decided whether to spend that additional $1.5 million to fix that road. So.
That's correct. Okay, so the Spine Road is, what type of cost are we looking on that? What, it's like a little over $6 million?
Well, as I recall, that was for the 12-acre site fully developed. Your capital improvement plan has about $3.5 million in the next biennium for the city portion. And after our last discussion, I did go back and look at that. And currently, capital improvement plan still has the roundabout in there as well. And so I think, you know, that's a pretty significant question as to, based on the 12 acres of property, do you want to invest several million dollars in development? I will say, even though the city did apply for $100 of funding, my concern initially with that is that LRF was predicated on sales tax revenue, paying the debt service for the city's involvement in the construction based on something like a target. Clearly did not develop, the revenues are not what was originally projected, and so I would have concerns financially for the city about paying the debt service on that funding for this Spine Road.
Okay, yeah, I would tend to agree.
Mike, what are you thinking?
I'm not sure exactly what we're. I wish we had a proposal from our experts, who are experts at development, that we were kicking around. I'm struggling with this open-ended. I'm going to go way back to our discussion in the first place, when back in 2005, 2006, 2007 or whatever, we came up with the eGov plan that came from staff recommendations, it came from discussions with the marketplace, it came from experts and consultants. And the environment's changed quite a bit since then, as Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw points out. Things have changed quite a bit. But our original objectives were, did we want to have individual parcels having traffic coming off of 132nd back on? So all of the traffic was going to be off and on, off and on, off and on, a lot of driveways if the State Highway Department would allow it. Or do we want to have some sort of internal connectivity that would make it so that there was an opportunity for people to not have to drive out to the highway, go down two stops, and come back again? And so questions one or two, or I guess I'm with Councilmember Holtzclaw, Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw, maybe I'm struggling with the words, but I think what I don't want to have happen, we now have a lot of folks living down there, 300 and something units. And we're going to have the vintage is going to have more folks living there. It would be, it's, just be a shame if those folks had to go out onto the highway, turn left onto the highway, and turn left back in to go to a grocery store that's at the final 12-acre parcel, for instance. And so some sort of internal connectivity, and if it, I don't think it's pedestrian-focused, but it's pedestrian-friendly connectivity is what I'm interested in. And I don't know that we have to do it through a spine road necessarily, a big grand spine road. I think the original plan made sense when it was at a gathering place and had interesting features to it. That plan doesn't make sense anymore, and I appreciate that that doesn't make sense. But I don't want to give up on the original objective was making it so that people weren't just entering single parcels off of the highway. So I see the city manager nodding your head. Maybe people can put it in better words for me. I'm struggling with how to voice it.
You've done a fine job of that, because we've seen that move us down the road to a focus, because that makes perfect sense, what you said, right? Not wanting to come in and out, always touch on the highway, and you could still maintain your development to require the developer construction of portions of that internal road on their parcels of property. Now, part of that's a waiting game, right? Parcels who haven't developed, there'll be those breaks there until they do develop. But that is a separate question, I think, from that the city wants the city and I, you know, do the roundabout and, you know, the bigger question. So no, I, you know, Councilman Scott, I think that was well put, and also moves the discussion towards the decision.
I guess I will say about that. I think to me the roundabout faded a long time ago. I think the roundabout made sense conceptually when it was going to start at one end and go all the way through down to Seattle Hill Road. That made sense. I think as soon as Polygon came in as a result of receivership and that no longer is going to be retail on that end, for me, I said the roundabout doesn't make sense. It was 50-50 in my mind beforehand. I think now I would completely take that off the picture. There is no sense in having that connection on that end.
Wouldn't we have to condemn those residential properties to put the road through and do that roundabout?
Yes.
And it's a lot of money, and I just don't think that I'm not a big fan of putting, I'm not a big fan of retrofitting roundabouts into locations where they weren't originally designed. I think roundabouts work great when you got a greenfield operation and you can just design that way. We talked about this a number of years ago on the other part of Seattle Hill Road. I'm not a big fan of roundabouts there. When that comes up, you'll hear me talk about that again, too. If it means taking property to make a roundabout work, it just doesn't make sense.
Sean?
I was looking at the East Gateway Master Plan. It was in our agenda in January 12. It's from 2008. And it appears that this master plan has, at least half of it is already taken up with what's already there. So yeah, based on what's already there, mostly residential. I think we have a little bit of retail right in the front over there off of 132nd. But yeah, roundabout certainly doesn't make sense there anymore. I agree. If it went all the way through, maybe. The one question, and even then, I mean, I think we're looking at a very low volume of traffic anyway. But regardless, I don't think we need to be doing that either, Mike. As far as this spine road is concerned, the way that I'm looking at this master plan right now is it was designed to be that walking community type feel, right? And now with mostly residential over on the east end, there's really, unless you're living that way, there's really no reason to walk down there anyhow.
The spine road, I'm sorry, the spine road was put in place years ago, correctly, with the grand vision of the whole EGOV?
Well, it was I think it was conceptualized several years ago, and the part that's there right now is the result of the residential that has been built there, and I think part of that, I think it connects to the retail as well, but it's still on that already developed property, is that right?
Each parcel has been required to develop their portion. I believe that there's been some allowances made for the office building to their concurrent adjoining parcels developed, and they're going to allow to wait to finish.
They have two parcels that aren't developed yet that are adjacent to that spine road, so they dedicated the road, but they did not have to construct it yet.
Who's that, Mike?
No, that's Tom.
Oh, I missed that last part, Tom. I'm sorry.
I said that Tom and I built their part of the Spire Road. The office building is completely building. They have three lots. We built the office on the lot that connected to the second. There are two remaining lots, of which the Spire Road bisects. And so they dedicated the right of way, but they have not constructed the road yet. And it's not required to be constructed until they develop the adjacent parcels.
And the pending. And
I have the original map here in front of me.
And the pending site plan for the Vintage accommodates continuing that portion of the Spine Road through that development as well.
Right, because the east-west and also all planned out to the highway part of that road as well as the most part of the Vintage.
Right, it bleeds out onto 132nd and in some portions Seattle Hill Road, correct? The original Spine Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that Spine Road that that's proposed, that I think Vintage will end up developing also, is a buffer between the neighboring properties behind them.
No.
That's not. Is there a parking lot right there? Is that the?
There's the parking structure that's south of the Spine Road, abutting the property owners, and then there's a buffer between that structure and the property boundary.
Okay. So really, I think what we're talking about then. Thank you. I think what we're talking about then is as it is right now, without these other parcels being developed, it's really auto-centric. It's not walking. When you begin to break up the Spine Road with places like the Vintage, where it's a residence, then you might have a little bit of retail and then more residences. It's not, I don't think it's conducive to that kind of a walking environment. So I would agree that we probably don't need it. And as development comes into these parcels, then they're not locked into a specific design. They can work around what, or they can work with what, you know, a blank slate.
No, they can't. They are locked in. We have a road stub on the Polygon property that the adjacent property owner will have to stub into. So I don't think we're discussing getting rid of the Spine Road. We're half pregnant. We're going to have a Spine Road. The question is whether we invest the money to help pay for it.
Right. Well, are we locked into this 2008 design? I don't think we are.
Well, we are on the ground because Polygon has built the Spine Road, and there's connects at point A to the neighboring property. They've dedicated the right-of-way across the Pratt property for where that would continue, and then the Vintage has it factored into their site plan of where it would continue going further to the west. So we will have a Spine Road of some sort there. I think what I'm hearing is a head bobbing that we may not end up providing the connection at the far end with the roundabout, but from the east end of the Polygon development going west, we very well still could have a Spine Road. I think the decision we have to make is it worthwhile for us to spend the money? I think it was contemplated at the time with the TRF that we may invest our dollars to build that to incentivize the property owners to come along, and I think that's what has changed. I'm not advocating for putting city dollars into that.
I agree with you. I'm not either. And in fact, I would take it one step further. In that there is no, yeah, we have stubs for the Spine Road, but I'm not convinced that we're locked into this design.
Tom, do you have any thoughts on that? I saw you.
I want you to kind of talk about the sidewalks, but I just wanted to answer that question. I think it's more than sidewalks. You've got sections of the road. I think we're going to be talking about the time. The building is an internal service access road, maybe for lack of a better word, not being an engineer, but except, and I think you've got portions of that completed, as the mayor pro tem alluded to, that I think really the only question is does the council want to commit funds to expand that road, do things like the roundabout, connect for properties that don't have any development there. And that's what we're trying to get to. Do you want to let that internal road continue to develop as the properties develop, or do you want to take that one step further and actively pursue finishing that road on your own and expanding it with a more grandiose vision of the roundabout and so forth. And so, you know, from a because of the financial repercussions is why that is such a significant issue. But you already have several developments that have committed and built portions of the road that we've also required
do that in conformity with our engineering study so it all lines up and they've had to develop the property in a certain fashion so that way it all lines up once all the parcels are developed.
And do we have portions of this road on the parcels that we talked about last week? Our last meeting.
Because, on the 12-acre parcel?
Right, yeah.
So that would be a requirement for that developer when they are ready to proceed, because, yes, they, as things currently stand, that they would have a requirement that would connect vintage in that 12-acre parcel. Polygon has their gateway, has a portion of theirs with dedicated remainder ready to go in their remaining parcel to develop. So you have the segments that are ready to be connected at the vacant parcels or undeveloped parcels, I guess I should say, develop.
Councilmember Bond?
No, that does help. That, yeah.
Tom?
Yeah, I was going to say the way the comprehensive plan policies are, the code is that when the developer comes in, that 12 acres, if they were to come in, they would have to connect to the vintage what they're building as part of their plan. It would connect out to 39, so they have a signal to get out at. And they're also splitting the road to when it comes up to higher space between their properties. Vintage is building that connection as part of their development with the vintage. That
okay.
So the final review has that 2000 viewport, but it hasn't changed the comp plan, it's changed the whole vision. That's how you get to the lights.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. No, that helps a lot.
Councilmember Bond?
Thank you, Mayor. So, yeah, I would not want to go too far back in undoing. We're pretty far down this road at this point. I'm not interested in funding the Spine Road. I haven't been from day one. I think it's unfair to the other areas of the city that could also benefit from some investment by us to help their economic situation. We've got a number of places, the Jet, Thomas Lake, areas that could use some help in revamping their area, and I don't think we should use money here to enhance theirs. I've been concerned from day one that if we put the money into the Spine Road to sort of jumpstart this area, it would hurt Thomas Lake, that we would get new businesses that might directly compete with Thomas Lake, and we would just have this one thrive while this one shut down. And that's not, I don't find that to be a wise use of our money.
Yeah, and I think City Manager said it earlier. I think the original plan had a lot of things all stacked together. One of them was this LRF financing was a way for us to have the properties in eGov. We're going to generate enough tax revenue, and the state gave us a deal to spend that tax revenue to build that infrastructure. When it all worked together, it made sense because it wasn't taking our other money from other places in the city, as you point out, Councilmember Bond. It was going to be kind of self-supporting. It was going to all stack up together. And the house of cards has kind of fallen down. That sounds drastic. But, I mean, I think it just kind of it went away. So the LRF financing is still available to us, but as you point out, we probably couldn't. The amount of money we could borrow and responsibly pay back is not enough to do the original vision for a spine road with all kinds of pedestrian amenities. Maybe there's still some money to help with small components of that, but I'm with Councilmember Bond. I don't think we are in a good place. We're not so flush with money that we want to start investing lots of money one place, then another, in the interest of fairness. I think we can't really pick this one versus some other one.
And I guess I would echo Councilmember Todd and Councilmember Bond's sentiments in regards to making an investment on the Spine Road as well, especially when the money could be better spent elsewhere. Like I said, let's not forget, we still have the money looming for 35th Avenue and the completion of that project. And we could end up hurting, as Councilmember Bond stated, Thomas Lake and other areas along 132nd. We could end up hurting those businesses trying to promote something as simple as a spine road, which the spine road, I think, is there's a real possibility that there's no reason why we can't get some of these new businesses to start committing funds to it as well.
So am I hearing, Donna, do you have anything to add?
Well, just a quick comment and concur with the comments that I've heard this evening. But, you know, the spine road and the roundabout, that was to jumpstart the eGov. That was to make it pedestrian friendly. That ship sailed. And
I totally agree with that, but right now we're past that stage on eGov, and to the point that there's only 12 acres left. So we're at where we're at because of where we're at. You know what I mean? It's through nobody's, well, I'm not issuing blame or anything, but it is what it is. We have 12 viable acres left, according to Councilmember Holzclaw, and after researching it over the weekend, he's 100% correct. So would that be worth the investment? And I would have to say no.
Thank you.
Okay, so am I hearing from everybody then that we're no longer interested in the city financing?
What are you thinking?
Oh, I'm bored with that. I mean, that we're no longer interested in funding the Spine Road and the roundabout. Is that okay, some bobbleheads? Okay, so that decision's out of the way. I think before we talk about landscaping and design standards, we probably want to talk about mixed use and multifamily. How do we feel about that in the remaining 12 acres? I mean, Econ Northwest did their presentation. We saw a straight retail strip mall type. We saw mixed use. What is it that we would like to see there? Hold it, Vince.
Vince. Had some great ideas over the weekend.
Yeah, Vince.
Came up with some great.
No, he's got to learn.
We were in the process of taglines and renaming the area, but possibly making it something similar like Mill Creek Culinary Headquarters, or you know something similar along that regard, where we create a new buzz for the foodies and whatnot that go out there. 27% of all these businesses that, let me give you a for instance, like an Olive Garden, half 27% of their businesses carry out. So I think that is kind of the wave of the future that we, I don't know, maybe we start allowing those types of accesses on those properties just to entice those businesses. I think those businesses would come if we were a little more flexible.
Okay, Donna?
Thank you. Well, I'll just jump on number five, which is, does the council want to eliminate multifamily from the allowed uses in the East Gateway? My vote is yes, we'd like to eliminate multifamily. We have a lot of multifamily out there right now, and don't lose sight of the vintage is going to be, it might be for, what are they calling it?
Age-restricted.
Age-restricted senior housing. But that's still multifamily. And we have the Polygon out there, apartments and townhomes. I am not in favor of adding any more multifamily in that area.
Who is this? I'm sorry.
That's Donna.
So would it matter to you if it was fee simple, if it was condos versus apartments?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you speak.
I'm sorry, Vincent. It was Pam, and I was just asking Donna if it mattered to her if it was rental apartments or if it was fee simple condominium type.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It might. If they were more in the Amberley type of look, those called fee simples? Amberley or the ones that are the, let's see, what would you call them?
I would say it was a duplex style.
Well, look at the ones on Main Street. They don't really have a name. They're just up from town center. There's not really a name. Oh, wait, there's one of them on the one side. Something. No. It's not neat. No. I'm not talking about the sports park. I'm talking
wood sidewalk.
It's once you cross over, you get past LA Fitness, and you're talking about right over there on the right hand side.
They're left hand side and the right hand side, and they're different. Yeah. Were they homes on the left and apartments on the right, or vice versa?
I think they're connected homes on the right hand side in that square.
I was thinking more in terms of something over retail. We probably don't want to lose retail space there.
Right.
Because of the revenue situation for the city.
Right, no.
I would say that if you're thinking residential, then definitely the lower volume, lower density homes. But I agree with you, Mayor. I would not want to lose the opportunity for any kind of retail there either. The one question I wanted to ask was before the towns at Mill Creek Meadows came in and Buffalo Park, was that a mixed use as well? So that, pardon me?
Which,
yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was, okay, and we ended up with a whole bunch of apartments and condos over there.
So where are you talking about?
Where Buffalo Park is.
It's the Polygon.
The Polygon development.
And the vintage you have to be.
Okay, Mark?
Listen.
I don't want
multifamily. I don't want apartments. I want lower density.
And the reason that I asked that question is because if the whole area there is zoned mixed use, it didn't quite work out on the east end the way we had hoped. So if it's zoned mixed use and we're allowing for apartments, condos, homes, whatever they may be, that we could end up with that again.
Well, we could, except if that's what, if you decide that you don't want apartments there or multifamily, then we have the option of adjusting our code so that no longer is an allowable use in this particular zoning. Is that correct, Rebecca?
Yes.
I don't get a lot of emails. Of the few emails that I get, the complaint side, I'm hearing too many apartments. That's a drum that has been beating a little more and more.
My drum.
Yeah, not just you, though. Other folks, citizens in the community are saying, look, enough. Slow it down. They're not. They believe it's changing the feel of the city, and they don't like it.
And not to beat the drum, also, as while on the campaign trail, that was one of the main focuses of our citizens, is that the last thing they want is more apartments.
Okay, Mike, any thoughts on this?
I was listening.